Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast available at thehollywoodoutsider.com, as well as whatever podcast app you use, including Spotify and Pandora. We have a new episode every single week, but this is a special episode. We've got a surprise for you. What do you like to do come October? You like to watch a little horror movie? Get in the mood for a certain holiday? I know I do. What do you watch? John Carpenter's Halloween, perhaps? Well, this week, we've got a special guest to discuss that classic film. We have the face of Michael Myers himself, Mr. Tony Moran, who stopped by to talk about that film, the legacy, and a lot of little inside details about John Carpenter's Halloween that I think you guys are going to find really fascinating. I'm going to get right into the interview, but first I do want to mention a local event in Rock Falls, Illinois, which is in the Chicago area, Haunted Haven. You can find information at hauntedhaven.org. They are a haunted attraction, and they recently spotlighted Tony at their event, so I just want to give a shout out to them and thank them for bringing Tony to our area. And with that, let's get into the face of Michael Myers from John Carpenter's classic film Halloween, Tony Moran.
This is Tony Moran. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Tony, this is Aaron Peterson with The Hollywood Outsider. How are you?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing, man? Thank you. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you're on your way to the great city of Rockford, I understand, correct?
That's what I hear, the great city of Rockford.
For Haunted Haven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty exciting event. I've heard a lot of people talking about it in the area, so that's great.
Yeah, it looks like it's blowing up pretty good, so that makes me happy.
Hey, how does it feel to know that every time October hits, you kind of have your own theme song when you walk around?
It's crazy is what it is, man. It's humbling, too, you know? It's because when I was, 21 and I did this movie, I figured a couple weeks into driving and that'd be about it. You know what I mean? Because
right.
It was a horror movie, it was a low budget horror movie that was stupid, I thought, So until I saw it, with music and everything, and I was like, oh man, this movie's pretty good. But anyways, I figured a couple weeks into driving and, see what happens now. I never get tired of it, I never get used to it either. It's really great.
Yeah, I want to come back to kind of how fans are, but first I want to ask you, I always ask everybody the same question when I start, is how did you know you wanted to get into filmmaking at all? Was there a specific moment? I know your sister was in Happy Days. She did a great job, by the way. We all loved her.
Well, thank you.
Were you both kind of interested around the same time?
Yeah, what happened? What happened is, that's a good question. What happened was, when I was 9 and she was 5, my parents had a Christmas party and an agent happened to show up by, just because was invited by a friend or something. And it was a child agent. And she saw Aaron and I and she thought, oh man, these guys would be great. And Aaron and I actually did our first job together as brother and sister in a commercial. And I hated it. And, and she was only 5, so she just kept going on it, and I did my own thing. And then I was heavily into sports, and I was being, scouted by the Angels out of high school and all that, but I tore up my knee. Mm. And so by the time I was like 19, 20 years old, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I always was fascinated by acting and always loved it and all that, but I grew up in Hollywood and saw what it was like, and that was the only thing that I didn't, I just really didn't want to get into it because of the Hollywood side of it. But I had nothing better to do, Aaron, so I had no future, so I got into acting, and I went to a workshop, and when I was in the workshop, that's when I got the call to go on the interview for the job, for the Halloween part, and that was my first part I ever did, so... I think I did a commercial or two maybe before that, or I can't really remember. It was right afterwards. I don't remember, but I know that was really my first gig on a movie or TV show or whatever.
And I know a lot of people don't realize this, but you only worked on the film for one day, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, it was a 21-day shoot, and Donald Pleasance was only on it for 5 days. It was a very fast shoot, and John Carpenter really didn't do any takes longer than three takes.
Really?
So, yeah, because of the money.
Yeah.
There just wasn't enough money. And so everything was fast, and he had everything. He was brilliant, you know, and a really nice, good guy. He's a real good guy. But he was brilliant because, man, on every scene, he had everything blocked out ahead of time in his head and everything. So it was very, very well organized and, you know, and quick.
Well, I've read that you signed on for this because Donald Pleasance was in it. Is that true? Why was he so important?
That's the only reason why I went on the interview. That's exactly right. You know, back then, Aaron, if you did a horror movie, that was just like a half a step better than doing a, you know, like soft porn or pornography. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was the only way you could see tits and ass in a movie was either porn or horror. So if a producer and director heard that you did a horror movie, they thought that you degraded yourself and sold out. Mm. Because it just wasn't the same as it is now. I mean, it was nowhere near. It's nowhere near. You know what I mean?
So did he live up to your expectations?
Yes, he did. He did. He wasn't really a friendly guy. He wasn't unfriendly, but he was he kind of kept to himself. But his acting, it was brilliant. And he wasn't their first choice, Aaron. He was like their fourth or fifth choice. Everybody else had, like, you know, Christopher, what's his name? Christopher Lee. He turned it down. There's a, the top heavyweights at the time turned it down as far as horror heavyweights. Mm-hmm. They all turned it down and he took it. And the reason why he took it, I found out later, is because he needed the alimony money because he was on his, like, fifth or sixth divorce or something. Yeah. Swear to God.
That figures.
And then later on in his life, you know, he said that doing Halloween was absolutely the very best thing that ever happened to his career. And that just, I thought that was just great to hear. You know what I mean? Because Jamie Lee Curtis for years didn't want to be associated with Halloween. And by the way, she didn't want to do the movie either. Her mom is the one that talked her into it.
Really?
Janet Lee. Yeah. She said, because she read the script and she kind of knew who John Carpenter was, kind of, because he had done Assault on Precinct 13 or whatever. But she kind of knew. She said, you know, look at, you do this movie, and if it becomes a hit, you'll be on your way, like, in no time, you know? And so her mom is the one that talked her into doing the movie.
If anybody knows what what a horror movie could do for your career, it's probably Janet Leigh.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right.
Were you pretty happy that Donald Pleasance is the guy that shot you then?
Yo, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you watch this scene, it's pretty funny, man. You know, I did this stunt, you know, on the first shot. They said, you know, yeah, you're going to get shot here, you know. And I go, okay, you want me to, like, because I was so athletic. And I thought, mm-hmm. I said, you know, you want me to, like, throw myself around or something, you know. And they go, can you? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So I flung myself backwards when he shoots me. And then I did that robotic move with the next, you know, shots, right?
Right.
In the bedroom. But if you count, there's a total of 7 shots coming out of a 6-shooter. So he shoots me once, right?
Right.
And he said, I shot him 6 times. No, you shot me 7 times, bro. But anyways, and then when it's in the bedroom, it cuts to that scene, and he's shooting me. There's another 6 shots. So there's 7 coming out of a .38 revolver, you know.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little known, little unknown fact, yeah.
Yeah, and this is one, I know you've been asked this a million times, but if you don't ask it, people get mad. In the 70s, you know, psycho killers, they were never masked. And then here comes this part where you got a random guy, and you're wearing a William Shatner mask, which I think you didn't even know
right.
At the time. But now,
I didn't.
Now it's a classic. But then it was this low-budget horror flick. So did that mask ever strike you as a really odd choice at the time?
Yes, it did. And here's how that happened, how they figured out that mask. They knew that they were going to use a clown mask when Michael Myers is 6 years old, right?
Right.
But they absolutely knew that they were not going to use a clown mask when he became 21. But they didn't have any idea of what they wanted to use. They didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
So Tommy Lee Wallace, who was the editor and the set decorator on the movie, and he's actually the one that did the closet scene as Michael Myers, or the shape, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
He's actually the one that did that scene because he knew he had to punch through the wood slats of the door, right? And he knew exactly where to do it every single time, so that they spent as least amount of money replacing those wood slats on every take as possible. And that's how low budget the film was. And so he's the one that did that scene. But anyways, he was in charge of finding something, and nobody knew what they wanted. So he went around in Hollywood to all the stores, costume places and Halloween stores and so forth. And he came across that mask, and he said that when he saw it, it was like flesh colored, and had mm-hmm. more sideburns on it and stuff like that. But he said he stood in front of it and he looked at it and he just kind of tripped out because there was really nothing to it. It was kind of featureless, And so he thought, man, if we just kind of like paint it white and stuff, take the flesh color off of it and cut some of the hairs off it, it could be pretty creepy because there's nothing to it. And that's how the mask came about. And plus, they were only $1.89 a piece. That's no lie. I swear it's no lie. That's the true story. So when I saw it, I didn't know. See, I was never told I had to wear a mask.
Right.
Which you probably heard before.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
So when I came there, I was like, oh, God, what, are you kidding me? I got to wear a mask in this movie? Because back then, there was no masks involved. It was all makeup usually, right?
Right.
On horror movies. This is really the first movie that introduced a mask. And I was just livid, but because I already signed a contract and everything, and I wasn't going to break that. And I was broke, so I needed the money too. So I did it. But yeah, it struck me as a weird mask. But I didn't care. I just wanted to do the scene and get it over with and get going.
And you had to wear Vaseline in your hair, that whole thing to keep
something
stick to your head.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah, because I had a lot of hair. I shave my head now, but yeah. The mask is 100% latex, so to get it to slide off the head without any effort, you just put Vaseline in it, and it slides right off. But then you have to take that Vaseline and out of your hair, and that was apple cider vinegar I had to use to cut the oil.
Hey,
crazy.
Let me ask you a question, because so many people basically feel like they're experts on Halloween at this point. So many people have researched it. Is there anything about the lore that people just get wrong, in your opinion, or misunderstand?
What's happening lately? It's really weird, and it's like a click or something, but there's a lot of people that really don't read, or maybe they don't know how to read or something.
Okay.
And they call say Nick Castle, Michael Myers. And he wasn't Michael Myers. He was the Shape. And I got the credit as Michael Myers. And it's in the credits. I didn't do it. John Carpenter did that. What I mean?
Right.
And so these people are pissed off that because I'm only in the movie for the last scene, even though there was a total of six different people that wore the mask in that movie. Even Deborah Hill did a few scenes with the getup on. These people are on the side of, they're taking, it's weird. They take like sides or something. And it's like, what is wrong with you? It's like, even when Nick Castle signs, he signs it the Shape because that was his credit.
Right.
That's the official thing, And that's where people get really messed up. In fact, I saw a post just a few days ago on a comment on a post that somebody else made, and Facebook will notify you if your name is mentioned, right? So I go there. Oh no, it was Instagram. It was Instagram, and this guy goes, "No, no, Tony Moran didn't play Michael Myers. He played he was the one that played the guy that was unmasked in the movie." Well, and like, what?
Well, that's Michael Myers.
It's really a weird post, and I thought the guy may have been drunk or something. Who knows? All I say to my fans is, look at this is the credit I got. I'm not trying to brag or do anything. It's just the fact, I got the credit as Michael Myers, the original Michael Myers, because the original comes from, it was the original movie. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And is, but some people are just, they're weird about it. That's the biggest thing right now is what's going on, is my point.
Well, they showed your face. You're Michael Myers, as far as I'm concerned.
I know.
You know, because you're on set, it's a low-budget horror flick. You're not sure where this thing is going to go. When did you actually, at the time, realize this is going to be huge?
Yeah, good point. You know, I was, we shot in April, and in August, I get an invitation from John Carpenter or whatever, the production, you know, crew, to go see a screening of the movie for the cast and crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the most hilarious thing I ever heard, and I just threw the invitation away. Because I knew it was going to be a piece of crap, and nobody's ever going to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like 5 or 6 months in that the movie was done, right? And the movie, I found out later, was released in podunk theaters across America. And basically because no studios wanted to buy the movie yet, you know what I mean? Because it was a horror movie. Nobody, you know, didn't think it was going to blow up. Yeah, but the famous film critics at the time saw the movie, like Eve Siskel and Ebert, and gave it a thumbs up and everything, you know. Everybody loved it, right? So when that happened, then it started playing at the really good theaters. So I'm driving my Volkswagen down Sunset Boulevard and towards the freeway to get on the freeway after working. And I'm going by a town that's called Westwood, a very famous place in that area for a date night to go to dinner and movies, because the theaters are beautiful and huge and old and all that. And it even showed it on Quentin's movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that town. So anyways, I see this billboard of Halloween on Sunset Boulevard when I'm driving. And I'm shocked. I'm just can't believe this. And I see it and I go, you got to be kidding me. This movie's got a billboard in like Beverly Hills type area, you know? And so I start looking around and the movie's playing everywhere. It's playing everywhere. And it's like I said, about 5 or 6 months in. And back then there's no, you know, the only way you could see a movie was if it was still in the theaters, because there's no Blockbusters or on demand or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed it's playing everywhere. And I turned to my girlfriend that night or the next day or whatever, and I go, have you noticed that this movie's playing everywhere? And she said, yeah, I kind of noticed that, you know. I go, well, you want to see it, or, you know? And she goes, yeah, why not? Fuck it, you know? So we go, and we go see it, and it's packed, and people are screaming at the movie screen to duck and run and all that, you know? And I get halfway through, and I turned around and I went, you know, this movie's not too bad. And that's how I saw it.
Wow.
And that's how I figured out it was really big, you know what I mean? And then they called me up to do Halloween 2, which I got the credit for, although I didn't step foot on, you know, I didn't do any filming because I told them no. But they said, okay, well, can we use your footage of your face from Halloween 1 and put it in Halloween 2 and we'll pay you and give you the credit? I'm like, sure. Sounds good to me.
What a great job.
Yeah, I wasn't going to wear a mask again, you know what I mean? It's stupid, you know? And then they kept making all these Halloween movies kept coming out over and over. I'm like, I can't believe this, you know? So that's how I figured it out.
You sometimes wish you'd just kept playing it?
No.
Yeah.
No. No. No, I was, I wanted to be, you know, I was an actor. And then you know what they figured out after that anyways, is they figured out, okay, look at, you're never going to see the guy's face. Whatever horror movie it is that's wearing a mask, because that's the big thing, you know, you never see their face. Except for Halloween. So why don't we just use a stunt guy and do it that way, because it's cheaper if they do it that way. So if they use a stunt guy, they don't have to pay, you know, more so for the actor.
That works.
Because the stunt guy's cheaper. Yeah, exactly.
So what's it been like for you over the years? I mean, you're going to Haunted Haven, you're going to do a fan event there, and you've been doing a lot of fan events where you meet fans, you have this instant connection to them. What's that like for you, you know, 40 years later?
It's a pure joy, Aaron. I mean this sincerely, that this, I'm probably one of the most blessed guys walking the earth, because I, you know, my parents, I think, even died not even knowing I did this movie. I'm not even sure. My little sister didn't know I did the movie until 2006.
You're kidding me.
I just didn't tell anybody. You know what I mean? And by the time it got really popular and all that, then I was like, well, if I say anything now, that's really bad. You know what I mean? It's like really stupid, you know? And it's just not my style anyway. So when I do these things, I'll never get used to it. I can't believe how great it is. And horror fans are the absolute best fans in the world. There's nobody that comes closer than the horror fans. And I'm blessed. You know what I mean? I mean, who knew? Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't even going to do the damn movie, you know?
That's pretty great. It's a great story, though, because, I mean, you just wanted to show up and meet Donald Pleasance, and here you are 40 years later. You're still being talked
incredible.
About. Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
You ever dress up like Michael for Halloween or costume parties? Just
No. I am doing a convention in Florida the first weekend of November, where Halloween lands on a Thursday, and it's going to be a 4-day convention instead of the normal 3-day because of Halloween on Thursday. And they also want me to dress up and do a photo op as Michael Myers. It'll be my first time doing that.
Really? First time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I just never really liked to do it, you know, but this is a kind of a special time and special deal, so I'm going to do it.
What's next for you after this? Are you getting any projects coming up?
I'm booked until like near the end of November every weekend. And the first weekend of October, I do an appearance in Salem, Massachusetts, but I'm filming a movie there at night after I work there. So,
well, we'll be sure and tell people about the Haunted Haven event and the organization itself. And thanks so much for coming by. I really appreciate it. I know I got to let you go, but I appreciate you doing this. It's really fantastic.
Hey, I appreciate your interest, man. I really do. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And keep scaring the shit out of people.
I will. I definitely will.
All right. Take care.
Okay, man. Bye.
There you go. Booyah! I hope you guys really enjoyed that. Now make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. Review us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, whatever you want to call it, and whatever other podcast app you use. We really do appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for listening. Come back every Wednesday for a brand new episode. And remember, the next time you watch Halloween, from your couch, from the theater, wherever you are, buy popcorn.